Praise God. Hey, we're so glad you guys are here this morning. This is a great day at MCC. We have kind of a standalone message. And if I haven't met yet, my name is Matt Houle. I'm the lead pastor here at MCC. And we're just so glad that you're here. Hey, but next week, starting next Sunday, everyone stay next Sunday. I've got a brand new series for the next 4 weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so I want to give you a little preview of what it's going to be about. Check this out. All right, new series called Relationship Goals. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. We're going to talk about things like godly romance, things like resolving conflict, how to have better communication, even things like sex. This is an important series for you. So whether you're single, maybe you're dating, maybe you're married, maybe you're considering divorce right now, this is a good place for you to be. And just so you know, we put it next week because that is a Sunday prior to what holiday? Valentine's Day. And so if you're a husband and you had no idea about that, we're helping you out. If your wife says to you, you know, I don't care about those things at all, that's not a truth. That is a test, okay? So do not fail that test. She does care. We're going to help you out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so be here starting next week for relationship goals. Hey, last Sunday morning, I talked about this Sunday, and I said I've got a word that I believe God's given me for our church for this year. And today I'm going to talk about what I believe God's spoken to me. And so I'm just going to roll that out for you right now. And then we're going to talk about what that means for us as at MCC here for this year. And so the word's going to come out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. So if you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. But let me give you a little context for the word. And so for this passage we're going to be in chapter 30. So if you know 1 Samuel, this is all about the life of David, this section of scripture, all about David who would become king. But in chapter 16, we know that he was anointed to be the next king of Israel. He's a young, not really a boy, probably an early teen at this point, but anointed to be the next king of Israel. And then in chapter 17, we all know the story. That's where he takes down this giant called Goliath. Thank you very much. In 18, when they go back to the city, all the young ladies begin to sing David's praise, and they say things like this: Saul, the current king, has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. People liking David, especially the young ladies. Okay, so Saul begins to get jealous, though, about David's victories. And so what happens in chapter 18 is Saul tries to kill David. And then for the next several chapters, we're going to see David on the run from Saul, kind of hiding out in caves, like in a place called Adullam. And he's gathering all these misfits and people from the nation that are kind of outcast. But they're beginning to follow David on all of his exploits. And so as David runs from Saul, a little later on, what we find is David makes a decision that he's going to leave Israel, the territory, and go over to the Philistine territory and settle there because he wants to escape Saul's violent aggression toward him. So he leaves Israel, goes into the land of the Philistines, and ends up in a place called Ziklag, a small town called Ziklag, he and his men and their families. And so this is the point we're going to find in chapter 30. What happens is Philistines and Israel are kind of their mortal enemies. And so they go to battle with one another. And in the process, David's invited to come along, him and his men. And so they're going to go against Saul and Israel in this battle. But at the last minute, the generals of the Philistines say, no, David, you're one of the Israelites. And so we don't want you to be out here and we don't want you to turn on us. And so they send him back to Ziklag. And that's what we're going to find in chapter 30 is when David and his men arrive back in their town of Ziklag. Here we go. I'm going to be in the New King James today, that version. And so I'm going to read it from the screen so we can all follow along. Verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and they burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now in this room, there's nobody here that will likely go home later on and they're going to find their house burnt to the ground and their family carted off by some, you know, a Taliban or something like that. That's not going to happen today in Mechanicsville, Virginia. However, there are people right now in this room that your marriage is burned out, that your kids have been taken hostage by sin or by addiction, by choices they've made, maybe even are in prison right now. Your job has been lost. Maybe you got fired even recently. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you had layoffs in your job. The peace you once had is gone. The health that you hoped for at this stage in life has been taken from you. So you find yourself not in a literal Ziklag, but figuratively, spiritually, emotionally, you are in, right now, Ziklag. So the question today is this. What do I do if I've lost everything, or at least it feels that way? If I'm in a place in life right now where I feel like, man, everything that I care most about, everything that is near and dear to my heart, everything that I've invested my time in, my family, my kids, my marriage, my 401k, whatever it may be, you feel like, man, right now, all those things that I thought I would have been taken from me, and I feel like I'm at rock bottom right now in my life. You know, David had been at rock bottom moments, right? David sat in a cave called Adullam, and he was hiding out from Saul and thinking, man, this is the worst it can ever get. This is my absolute rock bottom. But in this story, we see the bottom that he had fallen to falls out underneath him, and he goes even farther into a pit. It is the worst moment of David's life up to this point. And in verse 6, it begins by telling us how David is feeling right now in this moment. Check this out. Verse 6. Now David was, not a little bit, but greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him. They want to kill him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David, this is so important, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, say it with me, recover all. Let's pray. Father, I pray today for this word. God, if you're speaking this to us, we want to have ears to hear. And so I pray for every person in this room that wherever they find themselves today, maybe they've come out of a Ziklag season, maybe they're in one right now, maybe there's one coming up the road, but I pray, God, that wherever they find themselves today, God, would you speak to our hearts directly and personally and uniquely, God, for every person here. We know that your word, Lord, is powerful. It's like a double-edged sword that cuts deep. And we want, God, today to receive whatever you're speaking to us. Train us, correct us, rebuke us, make us more like Christ through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees, say amen. On December 31st, New Year's Eve, my wife and I were coming back from Tennessee, driving in the car. And as we often do, we're talking, and then we decided to read a book. And so Andrea's reading me this book, and just so you know, kind of my practice, typically toward the end of each year, I spend some time praying and seeking God, and I'm praying for a specific word for the next year. And so at this point, I had not felt like God gave me a word yet for this year, but as we were driving down the road, Andrea was reading this book, and in this book was this story, and it quoted that last line where it says, pursue, overtake them, and recover all. And when she came to that point, I felt the Holy Spirit quicken that word to me that this was going to be a recover all year for MCC. As I prayed about it, I was thinking, maybe it's like kind of a COVID thing, like God's saying, you know, hey, you're going to get back on track all the way, you know, and it's going to be a great year, get recover all. But I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, that's not what I'm talking about. This is about the history of MCC. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, this is about the depth of wells that came in the beginning. This is about the promises and purposes of God that have been there throughout, but have not fully been walked in or fully realized. Or over time, and this happens in churches, right, where you begin to let go of things that at one point you knew that God had his hand on that thing for your church. Does that make sense? And so I felt that word on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2022. Now, the next day was Sunday morning, New Year's Day. How many of you guys were here that day? All right, quite a few of us. So if you were here that morning, or maybe you watched online, we had, I would say, one of the most unique Holy Spirit moments that I've been a part of at MCC. We had a kind of a real God moment. And if you were here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a unique morning. And God showed up in a really special way. At the end of that service, Mike Jefferson, who could be in the room today, where you at, Mike? Right there, buddy. Mike walked over to me and he said, I feel like God spoke to me and said, Matt, this is a year where God's calling us to pursue. And I was like, all right. Right? Because I'm looking, God, are you going to confirm this word and make sure that I know for sure this is you speaking? And so I'm thinking, okay, it's pursue, it's overtake, it's recover. How much? All. And so I'm thinking, okay, I think God is confirming the word. The next day, I'm at a pastor's meeting with our pastoral team, and we're talking, and I share with them what I felt like God has spoken to me. I said, I believe God's given me a word for this year. This is January 2nd, 23. I told them this word that God had given me. While we're in that meeting, I didn't look at it, but I got a text from Chip Messick, one of our missionaries, and Chip had sent me a text, and I looked at it after the meeting, and it said, hey, Matt, I had a dream that I think might be for MCC. So then I'm like, okay, what's God going to say? So I told him, send it to me. So he gave me a voice text, and Chip's message said this. He said, I was sleeping, I had this dream, and he said, I was in MCC's sanctuary, and they were renovating the stage area of the church. He said, they pulled everything off it, and they were putting on it these old kind of artifacts, or whatever you'd say, from previous historical revivals. And there was a big train on one side. It had been used to like carry evangelists and revivalists to meetings. On the other side was a big organ that had played music for worship in revival meetings. And I knew in the dream they were connected to previous historical revivals. The weirdest thing he said was, I was playing in the band, Chip plays bass. He said, I was playing in the band and they put the band underneath the stage. So I was crawling down under the stage. And I was like, this is the weirdest dream ever. So he's thinking to himself, this is crazy. How are we going to worship? How are we going to see the lyrics on the screen? How's it going to work if we're all underneath the stage? He said he wakes up, and God speaks to him. And he says, Chip, you must platform the dreams and visions of God no matter how weird it looks. So I called Chip up, and I said, Chip, so why do you think there was historical like revival things on the stage? And he said, I believe it was because, he said, they were tied to historic revivals because they symbolized either things that had been here previously and had been let go of, but God was restoring, or things that had never fully been realized at MCC, and God's wanting us to go back to the roots of what he's doing at our church. And so three things. And within a matter of about 3 days, God spoke to me and confirmed this word. So I'm saying that to tell you this. I believe God's given me a word for this year. I believe Recover All is the word for this year. On the 1st of January, we went back to what I would say is kind of the deepest part of our well, right? We came out of the charismatic renewal and the gifts of the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit. All those things were happening back in the 70s when MCC was born. That was the deepest part of MCC's well. And I think God brought us back there for a reason, because he wanted us to know, this is where I want to start again. I want to take you right back there where you started. I want you to recover that first. Amen? I think that was so important for us. And so I think God is kind of breathing a fresh work on our church. I think this is honestly, it's the most exciting season of ministry I've ever been a part of. I feel like God is moving really supernaturally right now. And I think you're part of it, And thank God I get to be part of it too. Amen. So, praise God. So in the book of Revelation, when John writes these letters to the churches, he writes to Thyatira and Laodicea, all these churches, right? And he gives the church as a whole a word, but then he ends each one by saying this, to the one who is victorious, I will give this. So he writes broadly to a church, but then he brings it down and says, each one of you, this is a word for you. See that? Here's what I believe. If you're part of MCC, I believe this is a word for our church, but I also believe it connects to your life specifically. I don't think it's just for us broadly. I think it's for us collectively, yes, but also individually. I believe this is going to be a year that God wants you to recover some things that have been lost over time. It might be your kids. It might be your marriage. It might be your peace. It might be joy. I believe this is a word for people in this room today. So the beauty of this story, and we see in 1 Samuel 30, is that David kind of gives us kind of a step-by-step playbook on how we can recover all, just like he did. And so we're going to go through David's five things. Everyone put out a hand like this. These are five steps to recovering all. I'll hit them quickly. Five steps, 5 points. Here we go. Everyone put up one finger. Not that finger. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. Number one, first step, get past bitterness. Get past your bitterness. If you want to recover all, you cannot get bogged down by bitterness. Now, in this moment, David could have easily become bitter at the people around him, right? David gathered all these kind of misfits and outcasts from society. He had made a whole bunch of losers become winners. They were guys that nobody liked, no one wanted to be around. But he had made this ragtag bunch of people a team that was winning battle after battle after battle. They have become warriors under the leadership of David. And the moment something goes wrong, they're not like, David, what are we going to do, man? You lead the charge. We'll follow you. They're like, David, we're going to kill you. Right? Immediately. And David could have easily been like, what are you talking about? I've been leading you guys. I've lost my family, my kids, my wife. I mean, I'm in the same place that you are. How can you possibly accuse me unfairly like this? So he could have been bitter at people. He also could have been bitter at God, right? He could have thought to himself, God, like, the moment I was anointed to be the next king is the moment my whole life fell apart. It's been from bad to worse than that, ever since you told me I was going to be the next king. And so he could have been bitter at God and thought that, man, you gave me a promise. You're not fulfilling it. I don't have the peace that I should have. I don't have the life I should have. I don't have the wealth, the position, all these things. Everything's been taken from me, including my wife and my kids. God, what's going on? So he could have been bitter at God. But David knew that bitterness will stop you every time from walking in the purposes of God. You cannot walk forward if you're tied to a past moment. Y'all with me? Bitterness will stop you every time because bitterness is a root, the Bible says. In Hebrews 12:15, it says this. You can put it up there. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter what? Root. Grows up to cause trouble and defile a few. No, defile many. Bitterness will tie you to a past situation where you cannot move forward, and bitterness will also spread to other people. You will never recover your peace, your strength, God's blessing, if you're stuck in bitterness in Ziklag. Y'all with me? You'll never get there. So I don't know what happened in your past. I don't know if you were divorced. I don't know if you got fired and had to, maybe lost your business and went bankrupt. I don't know who wronged you. I don't know who falsely accused you. Maybe you rightly accused you. I don't know what happened. I don't know when you were brokenhearted. Maybe you grew up in a broken home. I always point back to that and see if I grew up in a better home, I'd have a better life. You might have church hurt. People in the church treated you like Satan. Y'all with me? That happens. So I don't know what happened in your past. I don't know about the abuse, the sickness, whatever it was. But I do know this. If you're bitter, you'll never move forward. If you're bitter, you're never going to move forward. You'll never recover your peace. You'll never recover your strength. You'll never walk in God's blessing fully unless you let go of bitterness. And so I want you, if you find yourself in a place right now where you're just like, man, I feel like I do have a lot of bitterness in my life. Maybe it's tied to somebody, what someone did to you. Maybe it is a divorce, whatever it may be. I want you to begin to pray, God, will you uproot bitterness from my heart? It's a root. And if it's dug in deep, you'll never walk in it fully in God's blessing if it's there. And so you have to pray, God, would you uproot bitterness from my heart so I can walk forward in life and not be held back by it? Amen? This is why I love freedom. So we're starting up freedom groups this week. We started some even this morning. And so if you want to get a freedom group, freedom is a great place to find freedom. Stuff like this will be uprooted in your life in a freedom group. We have over 100 people right now that are going through freedom. We have some more space. And so if you want to get involved in one of those groups, do it today. Sign up. You can go online. You can go in the foyer and talk to someone after the service. But get in a freedom group. Hey, speaking of groups, that series next week, we're going to start about relationships. If you want to get in a marriage group, we have 2 starting up with this series. They'll be super helpful to you. And so maybe you and your spouse want to jump into a marriage group, you can also do that. But groups are so important, and they will uproot things that have been dug down that are keeping you back from really walking into God's full purposes. Amen? All right. Everyone hold up 2 fingers. 2 fingers. All right. The second thing David does is David gets a word from God. You need to get a word from God. You need this. David goes to prayer immediately. He says, Abiathar, bring that ephod. Let's begin to seek God and get a word from God. Years ago, my daughter Madison, who's here somewhere today, Madison was learning how to ride her bike, and she had just gotten the training wheels off, and so she was still a little bit wobbly, a little bit unsure, but she was riding her bike and doing pretty well. We were going down the street in our neighborhood, and I remember watching her, so kind of really etched in my mind, and so she's up in front of me, about 100 yards in front of me, and she was kind of going along, doing really well, and then all of a sudden, that wheel just turned, and she bit the dust. I mean, like, went down hard, and when she hit the ground, immediately, she turned around, and she said, Daddy! And I said, Andrea, go take care of that. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I took off running and ran to my little girl and picked her up, you know, and I blew on her little boo-boos and all that, you know, all that stuff. And so, but that reaction, though, to her pain is the way we should react in life as well with our Heavenly Father. There should be an immediate, I'm going to pray first, that in this moment of pain, in this moment of heartache, I'm not going to pray last or as kind of an afterthought. I'm going to pray first. I'm going to call out to my Heavenly Father right from the get-go and trust that he will answer from heaven. Amen? God wants, I believe, to speak to you. And here's the even better news. You can hear God. Yeah? You can hear from God. Now, you might feel like that's kind of for like super spiritual weirdos that they hear God speak to them, and it's kind of like, you know. No, that's for every child of God. Every believer can hear God speak to them. Now, how is he going to do that? Number one way God speaks to us is through his word. Amen. Number one way. Don't tell me, Matt, God just never speaks to me, and your Bible's on the shelf at home covered by dust. The reality is you don't want to hear God, right? You want it the easy way. You want like a lightning bolt and a big voice out of heaven. But God rarely speaks that way, even though he can, and he does. But usually, first of all, God will speak through his word. So every day as you read the Bible, you don't know which day God's going to speak to you. I told you a while back I had a real God moment in my Bible reading. On a normal day, I'm reading the Bible. I happen to be in Isaiah chapter 30. And God spoke to me so clearly, so perfectly out of this passage. Now, that day was amazing. But you know what made it happen? Isaiah 28, 29, Yeah. Because I was reading my Bible every day. And so it happened to be that I needed that word on that day, and I happened to be there, and it was God's providence and goodness and grace, and it was amazing. But every day previous had brought me to the moment. You don't know when you need the word, but God does. But it will happen as you read consistently your Bible. Amen? Second thing I will speak to you is this. You can write this down. He will speak to your spirit. Now, in Romans 8, it says that the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And so God will give you the logos word, which is the written word, but he will also speak to you the rhema word, which is the spoken word of God. It's in season. It's the now word of God. God can speak to your spirit in that way. Many times God has spoken to Andrea or I at different times, and we've had a word that God gave us. God spoke to our situation at times in the Bible, but also at times to our spirit. So God can speak to that place inside of you where he's connected with you. Amen? It could be internal peace that he gives in a crazy circumstance. That can be God speaking to your spirit. But it could also be a specific word that he speaks as well. It's always, and this is important, it's always going to align with Scripture. He's never going to speak to you something contrary to his written word. Amen? If a voice says to you, you should live with your boyfriend, that's not God. Y'all with me? That's a different spirit, not the holy one. It's a different one. Don't listen to that guy. Get rid of that. So it will align with God's word, but it will also, oftentimes, like it was for me, this word we cover all, it'll be confirmed in the body of Christ. And this is why the third way God will speak to you is through the community of believers he's put around you. Yeah? So my wife is in the front row right now. Years ago, do you want to tell the story? She's like, no. Okay. Do you want to? You have a mic up here somewhere? Tell me where you at, buddy. I'm going to put her on the spot. Because I love her. And it's almost Valentine's Day, and she'll appreciate this so much. So, all right, you want to tell the story?
Sure.
From the top, go ahead.
Oh, just tell it. Okay.
Yep. You know what? Stand over here, away from that speaker. There we go.
Okay. So, when we were earlier in our marriage, before we had our girls, we had two late miscarriages back to back. And one of the things that happened to me during that time is I felt like, up to that point, I felt like I kind of lived in a bubble and God protected me from everything. And so when these hard things happened in my life, the thing that came to me was God doesn't protect me from anything. And so when I felt that, then fear came in my life in a mighty, mighty way to a point where I would take my boys, Judah and Daniel, and I would put them in the bed with us at night because I was so fearful that someone would come and kidnap them out of their beds. That was my fear for some reason. And so our bed was really tiny, and we were really uncomfortable, and it was a horrible place to be honest. And I was just laying there with our boys, and they didn't understand why all of a sudden they were sleeping in our bed every night either. And so I was laying, and I remember having tears running down my eyes, and I was like, God, this is just not freedom. This is not where I'm supposed to be. This just feels horrible. I have so much fear. I don't feel safe anymore. And I said, God, in my mind, I didn't pray it out loud. And I said, God, if you're protecting us, would you give someone a dream that angels are protecting us? And so by the time next morning, Matt called me from work. I didn't even tell Matt. He said, I just got an email from this man in the church. And he said that he had a dream of angels protecting us. And they were all around our home from shoulder to shoulder. And that they were protecting us. And that was just a way that God showed up to us, you know, and answered, what were you talking about? I forget. What were you talking about? Connected. I
don't know. Your hand. That was almost awesome. Okay, so, all right, so what I was saying was, that was good, baby. God will speak to us in the community of believers. And so, had we not been part of a church, had we not had people around us that love Jesus, that listen to the Holy Spirit, and we're sensitive, and then we're able to vocalize that. Had we not had those things in our lives, that word would not have come to us. So God will use, yes, the written word of God, and he will speak to our spirits, but often, so often, he will speak through the people he's put you in, the body of Christ he's put you as a part of. You need people around you who will pray for you. You need people around you who will speak to you what God is saying to them about your life. God will speak through people. Amen? He'll do it. All right, so connected to that, here we go. Number one was, we're going to get past what? Number two was, we're going to get a word from God. And number three, this is where we're at, we're going to get partners to help us recover all. Amen? Partners, people in our life. Let's go back to David real quickly here. Help me out, guys. There it is. Verse 11. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. So they're heading out now to find the Amalekites, and they find this kind of random guy in a field. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and let him drink some water. And verse 12 says, they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. And then verse 13, then David said to him, to whom do you belong, and where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites and the territory which belongs to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? Now, as David journeys now, trying to recover all, fulfill God's word to him, what David is looking for is a possibility. He's looking for, where is God providing me something that will make this whole thing possible? We're only a few hundred, and they are tens of thousands. How are we going to accomplish this incredible thing with a small group of people in my company? So he's looking for a possibility. Now, he doesn't sit back and say, well, God promised it. I guess God will just do it. It's just going to happen because God promised it. No, this person is God's possibility. This person is the partner that God's going to align David with to accomplish this incredible thing. You need partners in life if you're going to recover all. This is, again, why we do small groups. You need people in your life that are sitting in a circle with you, not in rows like this, but people that you're connecting with and doing life with and walking in accountability with. You need people like that, people that will be counselors to you. In fact, you might need a counselor. Yeah? Can we say that in church? Is that okay? You know that God gives people to give wisdom to you? You might need to go to a marriage counselor if you're having marriage problems. Because you know what? Your way is not working. So you need somebody who will speak from the outside as a different perspective and bring to you some wisdom, hopefully some godly, biblical wisdom in the season you're in. You need people who will mentor you. People that are local, kind of like right here, mentors. It could be a person in business, or could be a marriage mentor. It could be somebody that you just talk to about life and they just help you and give you wisdom. It could also be like a long distance mentor, right? Some of my best mentors have been people that wrote books or did podcasts, and I read them and I listen to them and I'm learning and growing. They'll never know my name, but I'm learning as they mentor me in what they know. If you have financial issues, Dave Ramsey wants to be your mentor. We've got a financial peace class coming up, and you can be a part of that class. It will help you out because Dave Ramsey is a really good financial mentor. Amen? Yeah. Whoever that was out there, someone's like, I'm financially secure now. I got peace. All right, here we go. Moving on, verse 16. And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And then it says, David attacked. All right, put up four fingers. Your fourth step in recovering all is you need to get mad at your enemy, your real enemy. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your boss. He might be a jerk, but he's not your enemy. Your real enemy is Satan. I love it. It says, it kind of describes this picture, and David's kind of looking down in this valley. And I can kind of imagine what David is seeing, right? All the tents of the Amalekites and kind of all these soldiers, and they're just out. They're getting drunk. They're eating. They're dancing, it says. They're dancing around their fires. And off in the corner is David's kids huddled up, afraid and cold and hungry. And maybe some of the wives are being brought out. And they're being abused, maybe. I don't know. But David, in this moment, I believe David gets mad. Because there's no break. It doesn't say David huddled up with his men and said, okay, guys, how are we going to do this? It just says, and David attacked. He's done. He's had it. It's over. We're taking care of business right now. Amen? In your life, you need to have some holy, righteous anger. You need to get mad at the devil, who is a thief, who is a liar, who is, the Bible says, the accuser of the brethren. He is the tempter, the dragon. You need to get mad when you see the effects of your enemy, your real enemy. When you see addiction and hopelessness and hatred and poverty, you need to get angry. Because you know who else is angry? God gets angry. You need to share the anger of your Lord. Now, anger, obviously, as an emotion, is not always, and in fact, is usually not a great emotion, right? Kind of does a lot of harm in relationships and in marriages and in families. We know that. But there is a righteous anger. Ephesians says to be angry and sin not. There's a righteous kind of anger, and this is the anger we're talking about. When you get mad at the devil, it will cause you then to take action, just like it caused David to take action. Everyone, put up your hand. Number one, we're going to get past what? Number two, we're going to get a? Number three, we're going to have what? Partners. Number four, we're going to get what? We're going to get mad. Number five, put it like this. Hand like this. Now make a fist. Because we're going to get in the fight. And this is what righteous anger will cause you to do. It will cause you to get in the fight. And that's exactly what David does. Verse 17, check this out. Then David attacked from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Now, let's stop there for 1 second. Now, how was that detail added in to the scripture? You know when they came back, like Jedediah was like, we got them all. We took them all down, you know? No one escaped. And then, like, Theodore was on the side. He's like, well, actually, 400 men went off on camels. And everyone's like, shut up, Theodore. You know what I'm saying? All right, move on. Here we go. Verse 18. So David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. Now, we are not a polygamist church. I would have left one there. But David rescues both his wives. 19. Nothing was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which had been taken from them. David, say it with me, recovered all. David got it all back. So in your life, what have you stopped trying to recover? Was there a season where you would fight for your marriage and then you got bitter and stopped moving forward? Was there a time that you were fighting for your kids? You were praying for their salvation. You were praying against every strategy and scheme of the enemy. But at some point, you just gave up and thought the fight is never going to come to an end. I'm done. I've had it. God is not going to fulfill his promises to me. God won't do it. What burned up? What ashes are you sitting in right now that you've let go of trying to recover all? Where did you weep until you had no more strength and then you just stopped instead of encouraging yourself in the Lord? Listen to me. If that's you that I'm describing, it is time to fight again. It's time to fight. We've all been in Ziklag. If you haven't been yet, well, guess what? You'll find it someday. It's going to happen. You're going to have the moments that are, for you, the worst moments of your life. And they may not be as bad in some people's eyes as the person down the road from you, but they could be. Moments that you want to cry and weep and give up. And you're going to be reminded of this moment. And God is going to say to you, pursue. Overtake. Recover all. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't settle for a false finish line. Go the distance. Pursue. Overtake. Recover all. In this moment, David is in Ziklag. It's the city between Bethlehem and Judea. Or sorry, Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Not on the map, but in David's timeline it was. In Bethlehem, David received the promise, the anointing, you're going to be the next king. In Jerusalem, he would reign as the next king. But right now, he's in Ziklag. And there's smoldering ruins around him. But in this moment, David says, I will do what God called me to do. I will pursue, I will overtake, and I will recover all of it. The team's going to lead us in a song right now, and we're going to have a time of ministry. I'm going to ask our elders and pastors to come forward, our prayer team, and we're going to pray for those who are in this room that right now you find yourself in a Ziklag moment in life. You need a breakthrough. You need a word. You need a miracle. You need a healing. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've been walking away from God. Maybe you're backslidden and God's saying, you need to recover your faith today. You need to step back into a relationship with God that is real and life-giving. Why don't y'all stand up with me? As they begin to lead us, I'm going to invite you, if you're in Ziklag right now, let us partner with you in prayer. Let us pray with you. God accomplishes things as we pray. So please, don't stay in your seat. If you're in Ziklag, if your marriage is busted up, if you have an addiction you cannot get set free of, if your body is racked with pain, you need to be healed, please, let us pray with you. If you're depressed and anxious and just kind of burdened down, if you've given up, if you've wept until you had no more strength and you gave up, this is your day to turn it all around. This is your year to recover. How much of it? All of it. Amen? Team's going to lead us. Get out of your seat. Come to the front. Find someone up here. Let's pray together. Come on. With you in prayer and intercession. I believe. believe God's going to use this to minister to you and to help you as you move forward in the purposes of God. Next week, I'm going to pray for you right now, but next week again, our series on relationship goals is going to be a great time, so be here for that. Let me pray for you, though, before you head out. Everyone put your hands out like this. God, we thank you so much that you help us to recover, not just some, but all. I pray, God, that you would seal this word in our hearts. I pray, God, that when troubles come, that we will go to you in prayer. And God, you will remind us that your will and purpose, God, that you are helping us to recover all. And it might look a little different, but God, you're doing our work. I believe this is a word for our church. And so I pray, God, this will be a year where we see marriages restored, prodigals come home, diseases be healed, those who are anxious and depressed be delivered, those who are bound up in sin be set free. We pray, God, that we will see supernatural things by a supernatural God working on behalf of us here at MCC. God, we give you all the glory and all the praise for what you are doing and are going to do. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, we love you guys. We'll see you next Sunday. If you want prayer, please come down. Otherwise, have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday morning.